Retail Audio. You are listening to an excerpt from Dummer's Lane, written by L.E. Barrett. Dummer's Lane is his exciting second book of the Kennebec River Trilogy. Before 1820, when Maine separated from Massachusetts and became its own state, Hallowell had already become a prosperous Maine town. Prior to the city of Augusta becoming Maine's state capital in 1838, Hallowell was considered by many as the probable location for the state government. Because of the sudden growth of Augusta and local politics, Augusta became the capital of Maine. The Capitol building sits on a hill only a short distance from the Hallowell and Augusta city lines. Both cities border the Kennebec River and owe their prosperity to their location on the river. It was the Kennebec River that gave the first settlers access to the ocean and the more prosperous trading markets in New England cities such as Boston and Portsmouth. The river's influence not only the commerce of the region, but to a certain degree determined the character of its people. As rivers often do, they don't just flow through or around a town or a city, but they infuse the people with a sense of time, nature, and vulnerability. Morris met the DeVoe brothers in Kennebec County Jail. Bill and Glenn worked on truck engines for a Farmington freight company. They had a fondness for motorcycles, drinking, wild women, and fights that usually resulted in jail time. Morris respected their toughness. They weren't afraid of anything. Morris also thought they weren't the brightest bulbs in the box. Morris tracked the brothers down to the Chaperie in Waterville. Morris wanted revenge. After serving time in county jail, he was no longer interested in giving Phil a punch in the jaw. He wanted to rip his face off. If he couldn't get to Phil, maybe the brothers might be able to do the job for him. "The job is a piece of cake. You smash in his front door, grab the punk, break his face and at least one of his arms. You leave him a bloody heap on the floor. He doesn't know you guys. He won't expect two total strangers to attack him. I'll give you $50 now, and $50 when I hear the job is done," Morris explained.
"Which arm?" Glenn teased.
"Your choice," Morris said.
"You're a big guy. Why don't you take care of him?"
Bill inquired. "They're expecting me to try and hurt him." Phil's a smart. Spring harness racing at the Lewiston racetrack was in its last week. The summer fair season was around the corner. Spring races were cluttered with horses who hadn't recently raced or never raced. The horses had to contend with less than perfect track conditions. Horses with previous winning records were left out of the spring races. The odds on any horse running in spring races reflected their perceived potential abilities and not any current winning records. This led bettors to make more bets against the race program favorites. The average bettor played their favorite number or went against the majority of bettors in order to win big money. Horse bettors enthusiastically played horses they later in the racing season would characterize as nags or plow horses. Every morning, Dip picked up a bundle of racing programs from the front of the store. He unlocked the front door, entered the store, and turned on the lights. He then distributed the racing programs onto the window seats and the front counter. Once the store opened, men slowly wandered in. Old men, young men, men in suits, men in work overalls, and an occasional woman came in. Throughout the day, they made individual bets or brought in long sheets with collected bets from one of the many factories or mills, the State House, or other stores. Women never stayed to study a program. There were no set rules for women in Dip's store, but most men viewed a woman hanging around the beer store as potential trouble. Women frequently dropped off bets, held short conversations, and exited the store before anybody could question their motivation for being there.